Welcome to Beauty 4.0, a podcast by Cosmetics Design Europe, brainstorming opportunities in tech and cutting-edge innovation for an industry that can thrive. In this episode, we speak with Wayne Liu, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Perfect Corp, about what the opportunities and challenges are in bringing beauty tech to consumers. Get ready for more insight on the age of AI, demographics looking for personalized beauty, how omnichannel retail models will evolve, and exactly how tech fits into the new shopper journey. So thank you very much for joining us today, Wayne.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be in this podcast.
Now, I think it would be great to kick things off with finding out a little bit more about what Perfect Corp does in terms of your specialties and strengths in the beauty tech space.
Yeah, so Perfect Corp, basically, we are founded in June 2015. Our company actually is founded to have the beauty tech. So we have about 300 people. We are global. We are in 15 cities and 11 countries. So we have two types of business. One is the B2C, which we have an app for you can make up. And another business that is we have a B2B business, which we package our technology and then for the brand to license. So currently we work with more than 300 brands worldwide. They are using Perfect Corp beauty tech technology. That beauty tech including makeup, which is a virtual try-on, hair, and also we do skin diagnostic. So that's pretty much that's us. That's Perfect Corp.
Okay. And between the B2C and the B2B split within your company, Wayne, what are the percentages? What are you stronger in?
Yeah, so our company starts with the B2C, which is our UK app. So that technology tends to be fun, and we attract lots of users who use our app. However, at some point in time, the brand actually sees that technology. So they contact us. They say, can we use your technology in our own premises, which is their own channel? So our B2C and B2B business, they connect and then they help each other because some of the technology which we can try in our app, and then the brand can have some kind of evidence, the proof to move on with their own channel.
Absolutely. And have you seen a significant uptick in beauty brands wanting to onboard your technology on their channels?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Especially since the past 18 months, we know what happened in the world. So that kind of the pandemic actually accelerated the adoption of the beauty tech. The first is on the AR trial side, because right now point in time, you cannot access any physical store or product. The only way is to e-commerce, online shopping. However, beauty needs to be experienced. They have to try, find the best product they like. So that's why using AR trial become a must. So right now, the brand, we work with the brand, they told us, if you are selling a lipsticks without AR trial, and you are not selling the lipsticks.
Yeah, there's certainly the last 18 months has significantly shaped all facets of retail, but really beauty especially. Yeah. Now, within everything that you're doing then in the beauty tech space, you mentioned there artificial intelligence, augmented reality try-ons. What is the newest focus for Perfect Corp today, and what are some of the innovations that you have in the pipeline?
Yeah, so we continue to invest more on the AI development because the AI is a much bigger category, especially in the skincare. We start, we call the concern, the skin concern. We start with the four basic concerns, like a wrinkle and dark spot, and we add in more, like a moisture, a redness. So right now, we're getting to more than 12 concerns. So we pretty much cover most of the common issues for the skin. So that's a one place where we invest. We get the AI technology, especially on the skin, a more deeper. However, on the other side, we still on the virtual trial. And virtual trial side, we try to expand the category. So we do makeup, we do hair. And now, very soon, we're going to announce the availability of the nail trial. Yeah, and also we expand to so-called the fashion tech. which is the eyewear, accessory, and all kind of tryout.
So taking that beyond the makeup and hair that you've been working in.
Yes.
And what would you say today's biggest opportunities are for beauty tech and why? You know, this beauty tech movement has really gained significant ground in recent months and years. So where's the opportunity? Where's the golden spot for technology companies?
I believe the AI personalization, the AI-driven personalization is really the biggest opportunity there. Because think about that. Right now, we are using skincare, right? So you're using AI to understand your skin. However, you can actually think about the expand that opportunity because not only understand your skin, but also understand your skin tone, your skin type. That one actually help you when you choose not only the skincare product, but also help you to choose your makeup product, your hair. And at some point in time, maybe your accessory, which we just mentioned, actually you need to figure out like which accessory like a match to your the shape of your face, and then probably at that point at a special occasion, what kind of makeup you need to wear. So that kind of a recommendation sometimes is really personal. To be able to do personalized recommendation, we need to understand the customer more. Which AI is really good at that. So I analyze all the data, not only the personal data, but also the trend, and combine everything. We can do the best recommendation for the customer.
Yeah, and in the beauty space, do you think that personalization has become that important for every consumer, or are there specific demographics that are looking for this?
Yes, absolutely. I believe in general, the personalization is applied to everyone because you can try as many products as you like. For example, some of the brand has, let's say, like a thousand different shades on the lipstick. However, the thing is, which one fits you the best? Okay, so you may in the different location and the different occasion, you need to have a different type of the shade. So that one actually applied to all the demographic. However, you know, you can see that especially for Gen Z and then millennial, of course, they grow up with all the technology, so they're very used to it. So they become a very smooth process for them, especially on the Gen Z. They think that's a part of that, it's a part of the experience. However, for some older generation, they still have a need. However, they probably get hesitant, or they are not familiar with this kind of technology. So the adoption rate probably will be a little bit slow. So that's our job, and also say like a retailer and the brand's job, how to have a smooth engagement for all the demographic, which they can use that. I believe that's a key. And then on the demographic, we say location or region. I believe Western, especially like a US and then in Asia. So Asia, actually, the rate of adoption of this technology is pretty fast, especially like China, Japan, Hong Kong, Taiwan, this kind of area. We are seeing LATAM. LATAM is getting more interest when we work with the brand or retailer. I believe maybe that's because of the pandemic accelerated. So geographic-wise, we see LATAM is getting more and more requests and interested in this beauty tech.
Okay. And where does the Europe, Middle East, and Africa demographic sit within that, Wayne, from what you're seeing?
I think Europe, we call EMEA, okay, they are very stable. They continue using that. They show interest, especially, you know, it varies, especially in the Middle East. Some country, they are using heavily makeup-driven user, so they adopt the free. But in general, West Europe, they have a pretty stable rate to adopt this technology.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier there the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic has had on how beauty consumers interact and shop. So much went online. But now as stores have started to open up and consumers have perhaps tentatively or excitedly returned in store, what sort of impact do you think that's going to have on the opportunity that you've identified here for AI-driven personalization versus speaking to an in-store makeup artist or going to a dermatologist?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I believe, with the pandemic, when the situation is more under control, people get back to the store, which is definitely not the case. But some of the technology and the experience which we develop with the brand and also with the customer during the pandemic, they will stay. Because right now, what we are seeing here is not just a location, not just one channel. We see this omni-channel type of experience. Because shopping right now is a process, it's not an action. So The customer actually, they shop anywhere, anytime, any method they want. So they may try something at home using their app or in social media, and then they may go to the store to see that product. So that's why that's the kind of experience actually stay. However, the thing here is that the way people shop will change somehow, because they may hesitate to touch things. They may hesitate to have a beauty advisor or consultant touch them. So That's why actually the virtual tryout and the AI technology which we develop with brand and the retailer is getting more important. So what we are seeing here is a hybrid mode. It's a human and the AI, they work together. We are actually have the virtual consultant. So virtual consultant means you can talk to a consultant at store, but the time consultant actually using us, say for example, the iPad to show you everything. And then you don't need to touch the iPad. You can scan a QR code and then lead you the micro style. So it's more like a reflect, the mirror of whatever the consultant is talking to you. So you can feel very comfortable to try anything virtually, try things, touch things from your own personal device. So that's one of the experiences which we see is getting more popular. You still go to the store, you talk to a consultant, but actually everything can be a mirror into your own personal device. So it's more like a touch or using your own personal device.
Yeah, but applying such complex tech and algorithms to a hybrid model in a fluid way must be quite difficult to do.
Yes, I believe so. So that's where our strength kick in. So when we design, when we start this company, we have a vision. We already know beauty shopping or beauty experience is not ad hoc. It's not just one location. So when we design this, actually right now people probably see that more like our customer engagement side, which is AI and AR. But actually in the backbone, where we have a very solid so-called architecture, the cloud service, which is a kind of like a seamlessly connecting everything together. We have a central database. If a customer work with that, they know we call Perfect Console. So we do create a product, for example, all the color, everything from the Perfect Console. And then we make sure the color match. It doesn't matter which channel we push. So the color actually is the right color. So we call the unified database, which you create once, and then you push to many different channels. Right now, including all the social media, we just announced a partnership with Facebook and also earlier with Google and Snap. So everything actually happened from a central database. Then in the database, of course, we have a complicated algorithm control that we call the activation. For example, which product in which store, which product in which website. So everything is controlled by a central the console, which is our cloud data service.
And that enables you to work quite fluidly then across the omni-channel model that you ultimately think is going to be the future of beauty retail by the sounds of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, within all of that, Wayne, there must be several challenges facing companies like yourself and others in the field. What would you say the key challenges are in the beauty tech space today, and how have you worked or are you working to overcome these?
Yes, interesting. That's a great question because, interesting thing here is that the challenger is not technology itself. Challenger is more on the human side. couple of things. First is when you do AI, the key of AI is really learning, machine learning, deep learning. Whenever you need to learn, you have something to learn, which is the data. But the thing here is, you are dealing with the person, you are dealing with the human being. So the data privacy become actually is very important because there's a fine line there, right? So you want to collect as many data as possible in order to have a good learning database. However, on the consumer side, how much they're willing to share, and also once we get the data, or the brand, or the retailer that get the data, how do we protect the privacy, the data, make sure that only used in a good way, which will help the customer engage, know their person, personalized selection, but not in other way, which is a bad way. That's really getting it's a challenge. So we need to make sure everybody has a consensus, and also, in a different area, in a different country of the world, everybody has a little bit different tolerance, I would say that, for the data privacy. So that's really one challenge. And on the other side, which is, again, another human one, is we need to find talent to work with us to have a seamless activation and technology to deploy to our customers. So it's pretty much interesting. The challenge for the technology is in human. So that's the one thing which is very, very interesting.
Yeah. What is Perfect Corp specifically doing to address some of that? You mentioned there the fine line between personalization and privacy. How, as a tech company, are you going to work to balance that fine line you've mentioned there?
Yeah, so we actually focus a lot, work on many aspects to protect customers' data. For example, first thing is we use technology. We try to leverage so-called IoT, which is edge computing. So when customer engage with us, we will try to make most of the thing which is related to identity or facial, everything happen in customers' own devices. So your photo, if you use our UK app, the photo never get uploaded somewhere in the cloud and store it, because we try to keep whatever happened, your personal data in your personal device. So you don't have this worry about your photo, your analysis get uploaded somewhere in the cloud. However, at some point in time, when we work with the brand, they may need this because they have a sharing. You can share your photo to some social media. So we will try to keep that. We have a mechanism. So when your photo or something related to your personal data upload to the cloud, we will delete it in the 24 hours. So it won't store anyway. And also in our cases, when we analyze your face or analyze your, try to understand your personalized knee on skin or your face landmark, we actually don't need your identity. Try to analyze your shape or your face, but it's actually a collection of the data, the number, and I would say the vector. So it's a bunch of numbers. So most of this data, I would say all this data, won't be able to easily see or visualize by third party. They see, when they see this data, they know it's you, it's not, because it's complicated. It's more like a encrypted data. So we try to keep most of the personal related data in your customers' personal devices, and also we try to encrypt most of the data.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, a lot of what Perfect Corp does with your technology is, it's developed to help the consumer make a more educated choice, to help them towards their goal of a personalized beauty routine. But what about the other way, in terms of brands using that data or compiling that to actually innovate and develop new products that might be in demand? Is there scope there, an opportunity there?
Yeah, actually, that's a very interesting question. Just recently, we start to work with a brand because as we perceive, we have many knowledge about the preference of a customer. So the brand, actually, they are thinking about maybe there's a possibility to work with us to do some so-called like a research to understand by analyze the data or all this kind of activation to understand the trend in the future. For example, is any impact on seasonality of the color, or is any impact on specific demographic, on specific color, and some specific occasion. That's something which we can use our data to do some kind of a simulation and try to understand the trend. Can be the color or can be any different category.
Yeah, and in that way, you'd really sort of, in a way, close the loop on personalization, wouldn't you? Because perhaps eventually then the beauty brands would just be innovating to cater to the needs of consumers.
Yes, because that would be interesting. It's more like a playground or lab. The brand can actually virtually create some product and let the customer try. So it has a less risk than you create a physical data and then push into the market and then it turned out to be it's not a good product. So actually the loss is pretty high. But if you create something virtually and let the customer try, actually I guess that probably is a better way to do a new product test.
Definitely. Now, just to finish, you mentioned earlier on during the podcast the future of beauty retail being very much omni-channel. I wondered if you could just take us through your specific vision of the future and perhaps take us through what you think a typical beauty shopper's journey might look like in the future.
The omni-channel is really the key. And the omni-channel is not only for the channel which we are familiar with, which is retail, the e-commerce, or app, mobile. But right now, actually, the omni-channel, including many different platforms, for example, social media, Facebook, Instagram, and the search, for example, Google, and also some innovative platforms like TikTok, the show video. Our vision for the future shopper is that the journey is not one way. And journey has many entry points, and they can go reverse. So what we are trying to do here is, it's hard to predict what the user is going to do next, but we will have our activation, AI or AR trial everywhere. So that's why the future of the omni-channel, including the traditional channel, shopper, in-store, which we will use so-called more like a kiosk or touch this, or which I mentioned earlier is a microsite which a customer can scan and go back to their own devices. So that still happens. And also in-store, because you have a more flexibility physically, so you can make that activation fancier. You can have the screen with some other function, for example, like RFID, and okay, so you can combine everything together to have an experience. It's more like going to the theme park, playful. However, that kind of activation is very hard to do this at home. So when customer at home, you need to provide as many as opportunity for them to do research, to do try out. So they may spend, Instagram for 30 minutes. So that's why they do try on there in Instagram. You need to have a capability for the brand. The brand to have AR shopping in Instagram shop or have the instant IG story or all kind of dynamics ads. So you need to have this opportunity there because when customer, the user doing the research or try out or sharing in the social media, they may end up going to the store to purchase or go to the website. So that's why the omni-channel experience, the true experience, it's a journey with many entry points, and then the journey is not one way. They can go back, they can reverse, so you have to have everything ready in every possible touch point for the customer.
Yeah, it sounds like yet again it's becoming more and more complex for the beauty brands and the beauty retailers, but that technology
yes.
really, really can empower success in the space.
Yes, and also that provides beauty brand and the user more opportunity. So that's getting complex, but it also it provides more challenge, but the challenge actually brings a new opportunity.
Definitely. Well, look, thank you so much for taking time, Wayne, to talk us through what Perfect Corp's working on and give us a little glimpse of what you think the future might look like. It certainly sounds very exciting from where we're sitting. So thank you again.
You are very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's all from us at Beauty 4.0, a podcast by Cosmetics Design Europe, bringing you everything you need to know about tech and innovation advances in the field.